Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week, and I always say that literally. I'm really looking forward to our show today. Instead of us bringing in lots of topics and going back and forth, we are going to have our Mary and Natalie Coffee Hour. Many of you have heard Mary Blake on the show before. She is amazing. I just have so much fun when she is on. And we are going to talk about seasons, change. You know, seasons change, we change, life changes, real estate, opinion, so much more. And it's really amazing if we can embrace the change, even though there's so many different variables at different times with change. Mary Blake, I'll let her tell you more about herself in a minute. But she is amazing, doing God's work, spiritual and healer, and I don't know where she gets her energy. She's just an amazing, amazing person. I love her to death. And without further ado, Mary, thank you for coming on today.
And thank you for inviting me, Natalie. It's lovely to be here with you.
It's so much fun when we're on together because it's just amazing how this synergy works and different things we do. Tell everybody a little bit about your background because it's so interesting, and I'm not going to, well, I'll let you do it. I know you can read my mind.
Okay. I spent what some people would think of as half a lifetime actually trying my best to avoid being me. Which is pretty silly when you think about it, but often we think, well, God has a certain plan for us, and we are headed in a different direction. We think we know better, but obviously God wanted me to be a healer, and I thought, well, you know, I would rather be a singer.
And you have
or a writer, or a writer, yeah. Or whatever, you know. And so I convinced myself that I was just giving good massages. I mean, after all, that's all the people needed. So what was the big deal? But usually. You know,
I'm just laughing. Yeah, right.
When God gives you a gift and you've refused to use it, you get whispers in your ear and you get a little nudge here and a little slap on the back here and a reminder and things. And finally you get to the point where God just shoves you off the cliff, you know. And look, pay attention. Pay attention. And that's what happened to me. I had a brush with cancer, and lucky for me, met for the first time in my life other healers, and got an instantaneous healing. And so,
quite a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that was back in. My goodness, that was back in 78, and.
Wow.
So I dedicated my life when I understood the enormity of it and realized my position and that I was being so resistant, and I owed so much by then, so I dedicated the rest of my life to being an instrument of divine purpose. And that is very important to me. And so what I do simply is listen. I've learned to pay attention. I've learned to hone my gifts. You know, I mean, after all, you can be born with a great voice, but if you don't study and practice, you're never going to wind up in the spotlight.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
So once I made that I finally had that recognition, and it took an awful lot for me to get there. But once I was there, I just began working and studying and getting better at what God wanted me to do. And I mean,
you have so much academia too, right? You have so much academia and so many years and years, and so you really kind of got into this, what, in your 50s, I think, around some, you were totally,
I was actually 40 before I finally admitted that I was a healer. And then of course, when I was around 50 that I began really studying and practicing and becoming good at what I was supposed to do. So if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
So I have been at it ever since and have been enormously blessed. Met some wonderful, wonderful people and traveled. Just once you let go and let God, things start moving. That's all I can say.
Isn't that amazing? The power that breathes us inside, you know, God, a spirit and soul, you know, Christian, whatever, you know, God is in all. I mean, we all have that, and it is amazing how it takes away a lot of the stress too, right? And things start falling in place.
Certainly,
and it's just
does. I mean,
unbelievable.
As a matter of fact, it's been a heck of a long time since I stopped and thought, "What am I here for?" And that's amazing.
You're so good at it. You know, and you're so healthy and you're so vibrant and you still get around and do amazing things. And at your age, which I'm just saying because you let me do that, because I'm making a point, you know, that we have so many people. Mm-hmm. No, there's so many people with the weight gain and with improper diets, improper environmental things, what's going on with medicine these days, that are walking around at very young ages, very unhealthy. And you've been able to stay extremely healthy and amazing. I mean, you're just, through what you believe and what you do and what you practice and working through everything, you're a testament is what I should say to what you do and what you believe in and who you are.
I feel better and I'm healthier and stronger than I was when I was 30.
Amazing. It's so much fun. I was so much fun looking forward to you doing this with today. And you are talking to us from Manhattan.
Right.
Which is beautiful. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful city. And
it's a wonderful place to live because there is so much happening. And there's a tremendous amount of openness and friendliness and giving that most people don't realize. They don't think of New York as being open and loving and giving. But, oh, my goodness.
Do you think that's because so many people are living together? Like, so many people are congested in one area that they learn to get along, and you have so many different people from all over the world, different cultures, different makeups. What do you think? You think that has to forces that on somebody or makes them more open and they just embrace it in Manhattan? Because that's a great example of the real estate there is just phenomenal.
I think because there are so many people in such a small space that people learn to respect and honor each other's privacy, and yet when they're invited, they're extremely open and giving. I think that that's the difference. It's you make room for other people to be whatever they are, you know, to live in the way they are comfortable living. And it works out so nicely. But at first you feel, when you first get here, you feel like the pace is so fast and people are moving so fast and they're sort of in their own little world, and you think, well, how can they ever get along like this, you know? But they accommodate each other and their own lifestyle, and they allow people to live the way that they are comfortable living, and they don't try to force you into being something that you're not.
That's wonderful. I love it. I love it. And there's so many different communities. The real estate's extremely expensive in Manhattan. Then we have different areas in New York that you can buy and be a little bit more reasonable, but still quite expensive when you compare it to different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. Location depends on where you are. I love what they have in New York with rent control, though, because that is not in every city, every place. You would hope it would be. And they have a really great setup, I think. And what's your opinion of that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, during the Second World War, the people flocked to the city, they couldn't find an apartment. They couldn't, and the landlords were holding on to apartments, waiting for raising the rent and like crazy, and so the government realized they had to do something about it, and make it affordable for people to live here, and so they established the rent control.
That's great.
And
that
it's, there's always you know, in every single form of business, there are people who ruin it for everyone else, you know, and they break the rules,
right,
and they try to do it their way, and they try to get more than their fair share and things like that. That happens in real estate as well as anything else.
Everywhere. No, it's in life. I think it's called greed sometimes, but sometimes it's necessity too, right? It depends on, it's funny how perceptions is within the beholder, yet sometimes once we all know all of the facts, then we can kind of understand why people feel the way they do, right?
Sure.
Not always, but sometimes. With the rent control too, though, can an owner still, when somebody owns a property and they're under the rent control, can they still sell the property if they want? You know, with notice, like regular leases, can they say, okay, I'm not going to renew the lease next year? Because I remember
It makes a difference whether the building is empty or whether there are long-term tenants that may have low rent.
Okay.
So that all that has to play out. Actually, rent control ended in 1968, and it segued into what we call rent stabilization.
Oh, okay.
And landlords are limited as to how much they can raise the rent from year to year to existing tenants, and how much they can raise it for new tenants, to get around that
good.
Is the renovation. If they completely renovate it, they can bring it up to what they call, you know, the neighborhood standards.
Wow, that's really great. You know, I wanted to our listeners, we have so many agents and brokers that will listen at other times as well, and then in general people tend to download more than listen live. That's what I love about doing podcasts and the online radio. In the real estate world, a lot of people, I just want to put it out there, you know, there are so many ways for you to buy. So if you do not have the cash right away or you think you can't qualify, don't let that stop you from investigating. You know, there's a lot of money out there right now, even hard money, which is at much lower interest rates because our bank rates have been, I'm not going to go over the T-bill and the index and explain all that, but the average rates have been running between 3 to 4.5% right now, and that's very low interest rate. We got used to, I've been in since 85, I mean the rates had gone up prior to that up to 18%. When I, in the mid to late 80s, we were back down to like 9.5%. Oh, yeah. And then subsequently we've been blessed the last 10 plus years with extremely low interest rates. Because of that though, the hard money, which would have maybe been years ago 15-18% and above, now somebody may be able to get it for 7 or 8, 10, 12%. So I just want to put that out there. When I say hard money, those are private lenders where the qualification's different. You may not, you know, usually they'll qualify it on the property. Just many different things apply, how much you have to put down, if you have to put anything down. But you want to be very careful with hard money because typically it's lent for a short period, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years. You don't want to get into something where you can't pay it back if you're going to buy and flip. But I just want to put it out there. There's also assumable loans, which are definitely have gone away in the numbers of where they were in the 80s or 90s. And you may be saying, Natalie, why are you even mentioning 80s or 90s? We're in 2018. I'm just mentioning it to relativity to see there's always different ways to make something work. And you really don't, I don't want to say the negative part of don't, but look at your options. Do not assume that you aren't able to buy. That's all I want to say, because there's a lot of scenarios out there, and sometimes, you know, people may be selling properties that they wouldn't have normally sold just because of different financial situations, deaths, divorces, you know, geographically moving. There's just a lot of things come up, so it's just, want to put that out there.
And sometimes it's a very good thing. Because maybe you're getting married, or maybe you're getting a fantastic job in California.
Exactly.
You know, whatever. But I would say more than anything in real estate, it's because it's such a huge investment, and usually it's the main investment other than education. It's the biggest investment that you make in your life. And a lot of people don't realize what a major difference it is to go from one realtor to another.
Oh, I'm only live to laugh at that one. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm,
no, go ahead, Mary. I just have to laugh because I right away when you say that, I'm thinking of like 100 different stories at once, you know? So
yeah.
I would love to
hear it. And just give me an example.
Well, it's very important. Lots of times when you hear that transactions didn't go through, it was because maybe somebody didn't know how to handle it to make it work. It's not always because someone couldn't get a loan or because a home inspection isn't good. You know, there's different ways to work out things. And so I was just laughing because what you just said is so true in many different ways, and it's become a commodity. And then a lot of people like to go in and try to do it themselves these days as well, right? Which is, because they know, and like we offer menu programs, but you know, it's always good to consult with an expert and make sure they know what they're, you know, that they are an expert, or consult with the right people, just like you check with an accountant and an attorney. I remember I was in Austria like in 2005 for a visit, and remember there was a gentleman named Manfred Vogel. He was an attorney, and the building was beautiful, you know, place to place. But the way that the rent thing worked there, it would pass on to his family and it was just amazing to me based on, you know, American or United States real estate, how that was structured, where they could keep it going on. So many different things that it's worth investigating and seeing. And so we've had a lot going on in this time period. Now a lot's going on with the gun control, with politics, with many changes going on right now. And when you were talking about Manhattan and you were mentioning how, because when I asked you how people get along in the area and you said they really do and it then work together, I wish there was a way that that could be done and take it and duplicate it into the social networking. You know, how so many people are on all these platforms and many do not know each other, you know, not well, you know, and a lot of opinions are coming out. A lot of people are speaking out. Sometimes I think they wouldn't speak out if everybody was in the one room in an auditorium. Sometimes I'm wondering, I think that because they're behind a computer, they may be lashing out more than they would if they were sitting face-to-face, you know, with everybody. You know, so it's just great. I think because to me, that's just the fun part, I guess, you know, of the psychology in life is to be able to live your passion. And when we trust God, it's much easier because we're kind of guided. It's really amazing how much easier it is than we think. But then we want to get along with everybody, right? So
yes, well, you know, there's something interesting that somehow what you said brought something up to me. Very often we don't realize that we can get the wrong impression real easily.
Exactly.
About anything. And the most important thing that I love about New York is the openness and the curiosity and the interest that people have. Mm-hmm. In each other, because we're constantly meeting people from other countries, other religions,
yes.
New York allows you to be you.
I love it
much more than many other. I've lived in very small towns, you know, from a little town in Kansas, where 4,000 people, and it was the county seat, you know.
Wow! Everybody knew what everybody was doing, huh?
Yeah, I went to a gynecologist, and it was all over town that I was pregnant. And
oh no! That's funny. That's so funny.
It was hysterical, you know.
That's hysterical. You know, I love the country towns too. I like a mixture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you're right
there's
next to Central
good,
Park, so you have acres and acres.
Advantages and disadvantages,
no.
You know.
It's so true, isn't it? Oh, absolutely. But next to Central Park, you have it's huge, right? You have lots of land there. Because when they think of New York, they're thinking of congestion and no space, but then you have that space there if you want to get over there.
Yeah, it's 880 acres.
That's
it's
amazing.
It's not bad for a park.
Not at all. But I wish we had a way, though, to get into, on Easter, we had a little bit of a debate, and everybody was talking about gun control, and I kind of thought, well, it makes sense to have a security guard with a gun in the school. And there were about 8 to 10 of us there. One is a third grade elementary school teacher, and she said immediately her focus was, no, I don't want any guns at all. But, you know, our schools and their public schools, good schools, but they don't have the funding isn't giving them even, the tools the kids need to teach, you know, to teach. She said she ends up having to put her own money out to get supplies and do things. And then she even tried to do some GoFundMe campaigns and was told no, which I can understand from a school's perspective. They're afraid if people go out and do that, maybe they'll really keep the money and help, you know, if it's not monitored, et cetera. But that was an issue that got brought up that I'm like, really? Oh, my gosh, because my son, of course, is a lot older. You know, they're not providing enough monies for that. You know, so her take was, like, totally on that end. And and so, which to me is a sin because there's plenty of money out there in the school budget. So I think that shouldn't be happening, and apparently it's happening in many places. It was very interesting to hear, just with our small group, the different takes on the gun control, you know, and what's happening right now. It's just, I think
thing I might say, you know, Abraham Lincoln said to a man with a hammer in his hand, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah, that
and
makes sense.
When you have a gun in your hand, it's easy to think that the gun will solve your problem.
True. Or think somebody's doing something they're not, and think maybe they shoot by accident, right? Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there are cases where people have actually shot their own husband or wife or son. There was a story where somebody shot their son because he was coming home from college, but he came home a day early.
I've heard stories like that.
Some horrible crashing, out downstairs, and came charging out and shot their own son.
I heard that's horrible.
You never ever know what can happen, one way or the other. So I think the most important thing is really being focused and being careful and being well trained. And I can hardly imagine a first grade teacher being trained
that's an excellent point. No, it's an excellent point. I hadn't looked at it that way it's an excellent point. They do say 40% of the guns or the accidents with guns are people shooting themselves or someone else, close by, or the gun going off improperly. But that's a really good point that the teachers wouldn't be. Because my first impression was, let's arm the security guards. If we can arm some, go ahead, because these guys can't be in there. Or do we need metal detectors? Because when we say gun-free zones, And so I was on the phone earlier today with a gentleman I've known for a long time who literally was at meetings yesterday with it at school. His kids are grown now, but they went to that school, and he's right there in Florida. And he's had to hear, there's a couple other schools, right? He had to hear the testimonies of kids that were shot in it last night or yesterday. They were giving their testimonies, and it was just really horrible. And he said then they had people there, saying they wanted the Second Amendment to stay, and many people didn't get to speak that wanted to speak. He said it was very traumatic, and I do believe people have a right to defend themselves, because if we had a country that I think if we had a country that didn't have any guns at all, then I would say, hey, let's not start with guns, let's not have guns. But unfortunately, we do have. I don't know how they would confiscate all the illegal ones.
It's hard to get that. Back in the tube.
Yeah, we're in a quandary, it's just kind of, but there have been a lot of situations where because somebody did have it, they were able to save lives of others. So it's a big mess,
yes.
And it's I really, my hat's off to the kids, across the country, the adults getting together through social networking. We can, you mentioned a little bit ago, there's pros and cons to everything, and look at, and the social networking you're able to reach all those people that fast and do good, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, different people do different things. So, yeah, it's just hopefully it'll work itself out. It's just so horrible what's the tragedies that have happened. God bless everybody, and our sympathy and prayers go out to everybody and all the families. And
the people
this is
that
not something
have been
that,
hurt, that is such a tragedy that people have to be hurt in order for things to change. It's a shame.
Well,
but somehow it seems to work out that way.
Yeah. Why is that? That's true.
I don't know.
No, it is
true. I don't know. But learning, people resist change. Always they resist change. You want me to change something I've been doing all my life? I learned how to. It was hard work to learn to do this, and now you want me to change it? It's funny.
No, it is true, and I think that's where we come in, us being more understanding of each other and really trying to, like you and I, when it comes to politics, we kind of go both different, and we agree to disagree or not disagree, and we never have had a fight over it, Does that make sense? We never argued about it. Well, no, because
right.
we're not. And then there's people out there, you see, that they're ready to destroy somebody if they don't agree with
their side.
It's not funny. I'm only laughing in jest because it certainly isn't funny when you hear it and watch it, you know. And I was, just like right now with President Trump, I'm going to say this, and I probably shouldn't say this on a show, but I'm going to. With President Trump, with affairs and et cetera, and I don't agree with any man having an affair, et cetera, I think right now, though, with so much has gone on, and you look at presidents over the years, you look at the House and Senate, you look at the men in general, and I'm not knocking all men or women, our society's changed, and I'm not, you know, President Clinton had issues. I think it's really a shame at how much effort and money is being put out there to try to destroy the president right now. And I said to somebody earlier today, you know, if I had a ton of money, I would go and get the best detectives and let them go to all the men in the House and Senate and see if any of them have mistresses or any did anything. You know, like you've got all these people blasting people and for the, you know, and taking it taking the effort, you know, off of where it should be. But I just find it pretty cynical.
I'll tell you, I think as long as they keep it in their own bedroom, let them do anything they want to. But when they go out and start disturbing people in public who don't want them to do that, that's a different matter.
Right.
Totally
I don't mean
different.
That people should be allowed to... I don't mean people should allow to harass anybody. I'm just saying that I don't agree with it. I wouldn't
concerned,
want.
I mean, and look at President Jefferson. Are we going to throw out all of the wonderful things that he did for the country just because he took a 15-year-old slave to Paris with him? I don't think so.
Right. Good point. No, good point. And I just find that. There's just so much going on that really I think the focus should be more on the positive and what we need to get done and embrace the fact that we're all different as far as different opinions, you know, with if someone's on the left or the right or in between or we all want good so it's been interesting. I was reading something and you're talking about, you know, when people assume a lot without knowing who the person is or what they're doing, and we need a lot more love in the world, you know.
Yeah, every person, this is a plane of imperfection. There's no such thing on this world as a perfect good or perfect evil. I mean, there's some good in the worst of us, and there's some bad in the best of us. And the whole thing is that we have to do is we have to balance it, put it on the scale. Was the good that they did so far outweigh the bad that we can say, okay, you know, give them a pass on this? You know what I mean?
I agree. I totally agree. And we were starting off talking about seasons and things change. And, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and what's important to me now is very different than what was important to me. Excuse me. What's important but now is very different than what was important to me in my 20s.
Absolutely.
I still want integrity, but I'm just saying, you know, season change, right? When people want to retire or they go places, do things, or, you know, what people are fighting for or what's important. So I just think that, and we grow a lot and we learn a lot. So, you know, that's what I find is very interesting when you get into things, when people start judging. I think it's just it's tough. And I work out.
Didn't Jesus say, judge not lest ye be judged?
Exactly.
Judge not lest ye be judged. And this is so important because people can look like they're doing something which they're not doing.
Yeah, I was swimming, Mary, and because I'm trying to swim more and lose my weight. Not that that's healthy. I love swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I was practicing a 6-minute speech I have to give.
Right.
And I'm having fun, and there was music playing because they don't always play music where I've been going unless there's classes. So I want to get a little waterproof iPad or whatever that I can actually listen to music while I'm doing. But I'm getting, there was music playing, and I'm getting into it, and I'm practicing my speech, and I keep looking over at the clock, but I'm swimming too, you know, like you know me, I'm multitasking.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the clock, and I'm practicing. Oh, good, because I got to get this in 6 minutes. You know, anybody that didn't know me there, that saw me, probably thought, what is wrong with her? She talks to herself, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a point. Right. Because,
but not anymore, because
we
have the Wi-Fi, the Bluetooth, and the cell phones. It used to be if somebody was walking down the street talking, and they were all by themselves, you knew that they had a screw loose or something, you know.
But, and I'm swimming, though, so I didn't have any. Exactly. Nowadays, you start to go, but you're wondering, wait a minute, should I approach that person or no? Wait a minute, are they? do they have something in their ear? Wait a minute, they might be crazy, or maybe they're not.
Maybe you've got a water-safe Bluetooth.
Just
who knows? I mean, they're coming up with new inventions every day.
I mean, it's just so funny how, you know, so they, and in real estate transactions, many times somebody has an attitude, or this happens, because people are people, and then somebody else assumes this, or they assume the seller's hiding this, or they're assuming the buyer's, and nobody wants to trust each other, and it's like, do you really know that's a fact? Is that really the case? No.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah,
well,
I call it
you're
assumption.
Getting yourself in a exactly. Yeah,
it's a very serious disease when you assume something. And I remember spending years of my life explaining that no, I wasn't really doing what they thought I was doing. And that's so sad. But that happened
really
in small towns a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was up in Manhattan last year and I was taking the cabs because I tried to Uber everything, and I found out in New York it's not as, it's easier to take the cabs than to Uber. And I know you told me to take the subways and stuff, which I should have, but it was easier for me to take the cab.
It just would have been easier and faster and less aggravation sometimes.
But for me, being the people person that I am, and I talk to everybody and anybody, and I love people, so then I started saying, oh, because I was up there for 5 days, I'm going to come up more, some different times, but I was up there for 5 days, and because being in Hawaii for so long, it's not like you jump over to Manhattan all the time. It's easier when I'm on the coast.
Sure, of course.
But, so, much easier. But for me, loving people the way I do, I was like, this is interesting. So I'm having these good conversations with the cab drivers. And one said to me, you cannot be so nice to everybody here in New York. People are going to think you're crazy. Like, you don't need to say hi, because I'm all, when I walk, hi, smile. You don't need to, they're going to think you're crazy here. So I'm like thinking to myself, okay, well, I don't care. That's okay. I mean, I'm not going to be rude, you know, and push myself and dump on someone to talk to me if they don't want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time he dropped me off, he told me so many things. So he was talking to me. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, and I thought, yeah, okay, sure, you know. But he was trying
of
to give me good advice.
Of course, people
aren't
quite friendly. But you're proving it right now.
So it's just hysterical, you know. But it's really it's a daily walk to be able to learn to go through and not be judging people, because so much happens every day, you know, and it's hard when you see the news or you see, and I watch what I need to watch, but I don't always watch it constantly. So I am that somebody would say, how could you not know that? You know, I say I don't watch the news all the time, which just from the stress level, but I try to stay up on things, but it's just interesting to me. I think it's a daily process in life to, you know, try to stay as humble as we can be, learn as much as we can learn, and we're never going to know everything, and we're never going to, you know, it's just a, and then start having more fun, right?
Definitely.
I can definitely say.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What I was going to say, I can say forever.
That's okay.
I think the most important thing of all is the intention. If you can feel the intention of someone instead of trying to figure out exactly where they're coming from, do they have good intentions? Are they open? Are they loving? Are they willing to explore your point of view, and if they are, then it's wonderful.
I agree. And we shouldn't worry so much about what people think either. It's just, you know, you see so many. But it's hard when we have our opinions of things and you see people. The hardest part for me when I'm watching the news or these other things in the political is when somebody's, when the adults are just really attacking the other adults. And you're like, this is not good for anybody here. This isn't doing anyone here any good. It's not good for children to watch. We're not setting any good example. So, but that's, again, just my opinion, right, which is only worth whatever.
Absolutely. but there is so much joy we could give each other if we would just let each other breathe. You know, just be yourself and say, that's interesting. You know.
Oh, I was ran a woman was telling me her that I just recently met when I'm out and about, you know, you're talking and she was saying that her son's an artist, and he just got married, and they're out in the Midwest. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, he scares me because he's I wanted him to go to school and be like a dentist or a doctor or do whatever. And here he's an artist." I said, "Is he happy?" She said, "Oh, happy as could be." I said, "Oh, that's fantastic. That's so good." His benefits, and he's got his wife's working, and he gets benefits. And she said, "My husband and I were civil engineers, and did that route, and then we have our pension and had benefits and didn't have to worry." And I said, "No, that's wonderful too, but your son, now they bought a house, but they had a little one bedroom, and then they have twins, and they had to buy the house, and I was just like, well, that's wonderful then, because your son can always go get a job, if he." And she said, "Oh, no, he can't. He went to school for art and music. No, he can't." This is so funny. And me being the avid entrepreneur that I am, that, you know, I've globetrotted everywhere, and I don't. There's things I should have worried about. I didn't worry about. But I mean, I'm not irresponsible either. But I'm just sitting here going, I'm thinking, okay, I have to be nice. Don't go give your full opinion, Natalie. Stop. Be quiet. Listen. Just be quiet. Because what good is it going to do for me to give somebody who's basically a stranger my whole? Do you know what I mean? They're not asking for my advice.
Yeah, you're not going to change their opinion.
Because
they obviously have just shown you that they are set in their belief system.
Yeah, and she just thought, and I didn't say, well, you know, you could die tomorrow. Anybody could die tomorrow. I didn't say anything. I just was like, well, I said, but it was glad he can get a job. I said, I'm so happy he's happy. It's so important to be happy. And I want to mention that's something that we know, and I'm getting better at it now. We all go through times, like I went through a terrible period of grieving with my brother. We all go through times when things are bad or there's trials and tribulations, and it's really learning, and it's a process. It's really, you know, I think the older we get, the easier it is, in a sense, because we're not concerned about, we've learned so much, and we're not as concerned about what other people are thinking. We're more of who we are. We're really willing to live on. But I do want to say, when things are going well, and enjoy it, be grateful every day, because we're all going to, you know, there's times when, you know, it makes sense, you're just not going to feel happy that day. It's just not possible, right, because something happened.
Sure.
But I just think it's just embrace it, because embrace the one day, and that's where so much more. It's like making a good stew and letting it simmer, and then having it eat when it's just all the flavors in it. Well, that's how we are, you know, in what we like and what we do, and nobody should be able to tell you what to do. And I'm being in the real estate world. More and more people, of course, work from home these days, and more people are going to work from home as time progresses, I believe, with the Internet, and people are able to do it. So our environment at home is even more important than what it may have been in the old days when everybody was going to work constantly. Not everybody. I mean, you have stay-at-home moms, stay-at-home dads, but I'm just generalizing.
It depends on which old days you're talking about.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you going to tell our listeners, because you are just like, you are like an amazing... Never mind. I wait
well,
for you to do
you
it.
Know, you know, I come from a pioneer background, and there was a time when you could say a man's home is his castle. You weren't kidding. That they could do anything they wanted in their own. I mean, they were the ruler of their home. You know.
Oh,
what
you know,
I
that
mean?
Is a good point.
Yeah. And there was tolerance from other people because other people needed. You needed other people in order to survive. And yet,
right.
In your own home, you did things exactly your way, and that's how they were, and that was okay. But again, when you say the old days, I mean, if you're talking about the old days of the 50s, that's different.
You know what?
You're talking about
you're
the old
so
days
right,
of the
because,
30s.
You know, well, even in real estate, I mean, we've got the old days only 10 years ago, and then 15, 20, 30, you know, you go and you rationalize and it's so funny. It's hard for us old-timers, meaning in real estate sometimes, not to get a little frustrated when we know, and then we're like, no, we want to learn. There's always something new to learn, you know. And I can see how people, when you become experts at what you do, you know, need to be a little more open because it's easier to go, no, I know that. I've been in da-da-da-da, you know. And you're like, you know, it's just it's a heck of a lot of work. I think maybe everyone should just have animals. Forget getting along with people. Just get animals.
Yeah.
It's easier.
You know, in 1935... My father bought, three and seven-tenths acres and a house for $1,500.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's very funny, but when you stop and realize that everything is temporary. And,
oh, that's a great way to put it, Mary.
Yeah, you mentioned my age. I'm 88.
But it just means a lot. Look how healthy you are.
Well, I'm 88 for a couple of months. Okay, in June I'll be 89. But
wow.
I have learned, you know. There's an expression that my aunt used to say when I was young, this too shall pass. And I thought,
this too
shall pass? What does she mean? You know, it's the this is how it is. And when you're a child and your education and your experience is so small and so compact, It's like now is forever.
Right.
And as you get older, you know, when you're an infant, 2 months is a lot between one state of development and another. When you're in school, the kindergartners are little and you're big. You know, and then
right.
By the time you get to be about 80, if somebody is 10 years older than you, they're a contemporary.
Yeah. That's true.
So you know,
that's
the
true.
Age, the law, and what I'd like to say to you, when you said the older I get, a few years back I learned, I had one of those little epiphanies. And instead of saying, the older I get, I started saying, the longer I live. And that became terribly important to me. Not the older I get, the longer I live.
The longer I live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
that makes sense.
Because you change, hopefully we change as we have more experience and we live through things. And it's living
through
things. And
they say some people might live 90 years 90 times, right? And the glory in it is not to repeat to learn and grow and grow.
That's exactly right.
I
know I'm a completely different person than I was 10 years ago because I've learned so much.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It
it's
is.
It's so much more peaceful, too. It's much more peaceful, and we get so stuck, and we grow, and we learn, and it's so easy to get stuck in things and say, you know, I can't do this, or I'm stuck doing this, or I have to do this, because this is all I know, and And that's not the case. And it's amazing with the internet and with the quick access to knowledge, even though it may not be peer-based, peer-reviewed knowledge.
Absolutely.
The access to knowledge that we have on the internet. You know, it's learning. You have a question, you look it up, you check this, check that. And I think there's just some wonderful. And,
somebody
you know,
said
really
to me the other
though.
Day that the millennials can't read a clock. because
well,
they're so
I can
used
say,
to they, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're right.
But
well,
but
there's
they can,
a lot
they
that
can
do
they
not
can
know
do
how
things
use.
That we never that it never occurred to us that we
oh,
didn't even know existed.
5 year olds can fix the computers. They know what to do with the computers.
Exactly.
They wouldn't. They but you know a lot of the young ones I remember can't don't know how to use a fax machine, which I find is pretty funny. But
it is funny.
Because we didn't even have fax machines until the early 90s. I remember
right.
going from Maryland to California, and my in 94, let me think, 94, it was 93, 94, and I had to I took a fax machine with me on the airport, on the plane, through the airport, because I knew I was going to have to do work there, and that just wasn't a common thing that we had, so it just shows you how fast.
Yes, you didn't know if the place that you were going to would have
no,
one.
No, it didn't, uh-huh. It didn't have it, it didn't, but yeah, and it was just a different, you know, now we know we're going to have Wi-Fi and everything everywhere, but and I'm sure 50 years from now, what we're doing is going to be very primitive. To people
True.
In the future.
True.
You know, but things haven't changed.
This is fascinating.
Isn't it? It is. But our likes, our personalities, what we like and don't like, our spirits and souls, you know, human nature, that's still the same as it was years ago, you know. It's we've grown a lot. We've had technology and changes. I mean, now we have electricity. We can fly. We can do so many things that we couldn't do. But people still have feelings and care and need people. I think that's one thing with the social networking that we're getting away from a little bit. One hand, it's okay because people are connected and they're finding out things quickly. But then another hand, it's, you know, so it'll work itself out. I have faith in that.
You have to have faith in human nature. Because if you don't have faith in human nature, everything is lost anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter how brilliant the innovations are if the motivation behind the people using them is flawed.
That's a good point. No, that's a good point. But, you know, we're all so different. Like, I'm an avid entrepreneur. I always have been. And I saw a cute quote this morning, and it said, entrepreneurs are the ones that are jumping off the cliff, and while they're jumping off the cliff, they're building the plane. it's like, that's a good – I like that. Now, there's other
Absolutely.
People that would never in a million years think to do that, you know. So it's just
yeah.
it's just really good about – nice for us to embrace ourselves and be who you are. Live where you are. I've noticed in real estate, I've never sold any house. And now commercial's different because everything's different. I should say every property, every building, every commercial, every is unique to the people and the players or whomever's involved based
mm-hmm.
on the needs or if they're looking for a rate of return, if they're looking on flipping and making a profit, if they're going to live there. If you're going to live in that house or that property, see how you feel. Don't buy it if you go, something just doesn't feel right. Don't buy it, you know. I mean, literally, I shouldn't say it that arbitrarily, but there's, you know, you want to make sure that you're very comfortable. And that's something our spirit and soul doesn't lie to us, just doesn't. And that's one thing I can take to the bank, you know, when
and,
we just
and,
know.
And
we go,
you,
I don't like it. I don't like this.
with that kind of attitude, you will succeed always.
Yeah. Even though you have to crunch numbers and you still have to do the, you know, the thinking part of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you definitely go, I don't like this. I don't want to do. I don't know. Then that's a good sign that you're kind of move away from that a little bit. So.
Yes.
We have already almost gone through our coffee hour. I had tea while we were on the phone. I don't know if. I meant to offer you coffee and tea. I'm so sorry.
There you go.
doing this virtually, I totally forgot. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay. Well, I brought my own.
Good. So you're all set.
Right.
You're all set.
But this is, yeah. I guess, the big thing that we have brought out here is that you must learn to trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And trust your instincts, trust your feelings, and knowledge is flexible. You know, what you can learn in 5 minutes, something that will last you a whole, until you learn something that takes its place. And this is an important thing to know. You know, I love the joke about the atheist who was fishing in Loch Ness in Scotland, and he was a lifetime atheist. And all of a sudden, Nessie, the Loch Ness monster, reared up out of the water and grabbed him in his mouth and shook him 20 feet in the air, and he screams, "God, help me!" And the voice comes down from the sky, "Well, I thought you didn't believe in me." He says, "Give me a break. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness monster."
I love it. That is so good.
So you see, emergencies, in emergencies we learn fast.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. When you're down at the last minute, and you know, you think quickly. We learn. We don't sit there and hem and haw, second guess ourselves, do whatever. We're like, boom, 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 got to do this now. There's a fire. Get out of here. Boom, boom, boom. It's not
exactly
a matter of second guessing, is it?
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
No, it's a good point.
So, and you learn quickly who you can count on in an emergency too, don't you?
Yes. And
so
it's
a shame that we can't learn as fast in other situations as we do in emergencies. It's a shame it takes an emergency to teach somebody something so important.
I know. Unfortunately, a lot of pain, you know, you do grow and learn through pain, is unfortunate.
Well,
that is absolutely true.
Fact of life. Just how things are. So,
no, it is, and we can't teach. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, which I don't believe, because we were always learning. If we want to learn,
that at all.
The young ones won't listen to us until they learn the hard way. Sometimes, you know, but not. It's a really interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah, sometimes it's the young people that are hard to teach something new, because they've just knocked themselves out learning something, and now you're telling them that what they learned was wrong. That's ridiculous. The teacher made me study hours to learn this.
And there are different ways to learn, you know, that there are different ways for people to learn, and it's very interesting. That's what makes the life, spice of life, the variety is the spice of life, right? We all like different things.
It is, and I just think we need to give other people the room to be who they are, to be comfortable and happy in their own skin.
Amen. And definitely, especially when you're in sales, it's really important to listen to the other person, your client, customer, and see what they need, you know, and listen and hear them, listen to them. Sometimes you can figure out more of what they need than what they're telling you they need, because you're listening, you know, and you're really,
this might work. One of the most important things that people usually don't learn is how to listen. It's so important to listen to people.
We are at the end of our coffee hour. Do you believe it went by so fast? Yes.
Imagine that.
And it goes by so fast.
Well, it's been lovely bouncing ideas around with you.
I love you coming on the show. I love it. It's always fun with you. You're so amazing and a breath of fresh air. And it's... Oh, I can hear the winds are really howling here.
Uh-huh.
Winds are really picking up, really. Yeah. So.
I actually hear
thank
the wind
you,
over. Yeah, I hear the wind. Interesting.
You can hear
it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And.
Thank you.
I look forward to our next conversation.
You have a wonderful extra cup of coffee. I'm going to have another cup of tea. You have a wonderful, wonderful,
nice.
Peaceful, peaceful day. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
And love and love.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.